The scripture reading from Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
That is the same scripture we've been using these last few weeks. Did you notice, if you still have your Bible open, do you notice the beginning of the next verse? What is the beginning of the next verse? I will be found of you. I will be found. He doesn't want to hide from us. He wants us to see who He is. Rules, laws. The laws are here. Rules and laws. Can you remember as a child, your parents having, well, I guess there are some children here. Sophia, are there any rules that your dad has that you think are maybe not so good? All of the rules are good. That's a well-raised child right there. Okay, I can remember when I was in high school. Don't look at that picture yet. There was a rule when I got to high school, because I went to high school in the 70s. That was right out of the 60s when you had shorter hair. But into the 70s, what was happening? The hair was beginning to get longer. And there was a rule in the school that I went to that the hair on the back of your head could not touch your collar. Does anybody remember that? I might be breaking the rule right now. I don't know. I thought that was kind of a crazy rule. And I had a tendency to break that rule. If you've ever seen any pictures of me when I was in high school, I think I broke that rule. So there are rules, there are laws, there are things that are put into place. It helps us to understand what kind of a place that is, right? Where I met Karen at Andrews University, they had a girls' dorm and a boys' dorm. And the rule there was that the boys were not allowed to go into the girls' dorm. I know, Cristiano, that sounds kind of strange. No, but that tells us what kind of a place it is, right? That gives an idea. So when you have a law, it helps you to understand what kind of a place you live in. There is a place over on the other side of the state of Colorado. It's a little town called Nucla. Anybody ever heard of, besides Karen, anybody ever heard of the town of Nucla? Okay, Nucla is a special town. It doesn't only have old people that live in that town, but in the town of Nucla, it is a requirement that every home, it's a law, every home must own a firearm. Not the home, but the homeowner. Every home must have a firearm. And there it is. Nucla became nationally famous when it passed an ordinance requiring every household to own a gun 5 years ago, a move that is still widely popular among residents. But past Nucla's 1 minute of fame, locals worried about their beloved home becoming a ghost town. It's a very small town. So, you know, when you go to the town of Nucla and you're going to go door to door, you know what you might get met with, right? It's a possibility. What kind of a place would that be to live? Travis says it would be safe. Now that you know this, and you thought, hey, you know, next week I need to start a new job. I'm not going to work for Lyft or Uber. I'm going to be a thief. You wouldn't go to Nucla, would you? It tells us what kind of a place it is. Over in Nevada, prostitution is legal in Nevada. Is there anybody who did not know that? Prostitution is legal in Nevada. Now, what are some picture, some green areas? In the dark brown area, it is not legal. That's in the highly populated areas, is not legal. It actually says that brothels, in other words, a brothel. Anyway, you see this lighter area, it's legal, but prostitution is legal, but you're not allowed to have a brothel. What kind of a place is Nevada? You see what I'm saying? It gives you an idea of what kind of a place, by the laws, right? It gives you an idea of what kind of place. Where do you live? We live in Colorado. Beautiful Colorado. Oh boy. You know, as I've traveled around the United States, not so much the world, but in the United States, people have come to me when I've been somewhere and said, "Hey man, what is it like to live in Colorado where you can freely smoke marijuana?" I'm like, "Well, I don't really know what that's like." But do you see the perception, right? The perception is, I live in Colorado, so I must smoke marijuana. Does it tell us what kind of a place we live in? Now it is, here's a website. This is actually a Colorado page right there. So you can go there and you can find out legal use, health effects, responsible use, all of these things. It tells us what kind of a place we live. Now I'm not saying anything about guns. I'm going to go down on the record that I'm against prostitution. And I'm going to go on the record, I'm against marijuana. I'm using this as examples. I'm not promoting any of these things. Anyway, as we begin today, let's pray together, because today we're going to continue. You see, in the bulletin is why I trust Him. Why I trust Him. And I want to show you that. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm thankful for the opportunity to come together. This morning, we have praised You with our singing. We have given You honor by our tithes and our offerings. We have brought our prayers and our supplications to You. And now, Father, we pray that we would be still and allow Your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are in Genesis. We're in Genesis. Genesis 3. Here's Genesis 3. But we have looked at Genesis 1 and 2. And just to review a little bit, God, Jesus, He's the Creator. He created all things. And He told them, He put them in a garden. He said, everything is yours. Everything is yours. Just one thing. Don't eat from one tree. And everything was good. Let's go to chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3. We're going to look at several things in the Bible today, so be ready. Get it out. Get it warmed up. We're going to look in a few places. And so we saw there in verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, we're going to have to do a little bit of review. If you didn't hear 1 and 2, part 1 and 2, you can go on the website and listen to that. We will review just a little bit. The serpent, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, was more subtle. We looked at some of the words of what subtle meant. Subtle. What does subtle mean to you? I wrote that down here. Crafty, sneaky, clever, cunning, shrewd. All of those words that I had right there lend to the idea that He's not on your side. He's trying to trick you. He's not like your dad. Your dad wants to help you. He's trying to trick you. And so there's a conversation that goes on there. And Eve is convinced some way, she is convinced that... No, Siri, I don't need you. Satan, we see here, Satan is representing, he's talking to the two right there, and he's saying that, listen, you'll be a gainer. You can gain if you break God's law. You could gain. Do we ever think of that? Is that possible to gain? I don't think it's possible, but that's the presentation that's being made. You could gain. So there's a discussion there. And we go down to verse 5, and verse 5 is specifically what I want to look at today. Let's read verse 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and ye will be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now that's the King James. The King James says gods. Does anybody have a translation? There are some translations that actually uses a large G and is singular. Does anybody have a translation that has that? There is a translation. Anybody else have one? There's another translation. We could look at that either way. The serpent is telling Eve, you can be one of many gods or you can be God. You remember what Lucifer said in Isaiah 14? We looked at that. I will be like the Most High. Now, he's been kicked out of heaven. He's a little bit sad that he's kicked out of heaven. And he's like, okay, maybe I can destroy what God's created. Maybe I can bring these two to join me in my misery. And I can lead them that way. Hey, Eve, you can be just like God. He's hiding something from you. And he's still doing it today. He's still trying to say, you could be like God today. I was visiting an associate. I wouldn't call him a friend, but I was visiting an associate. He invited me to their facility, and they have a cafeteria there. And so he asked me if I would eat there with them, and I did. And it's a religious organization, if you could call it. It's not really Christian, but it's a religious organization. And so I went there for lunch, and in the cafeteria, there was a picture on the wall. And I took a picture of the picture. And there it says at the top, 7 fundamental truths. Oh, foundational. Okay. 7 foundational truths. What is a truth? Now, Travis says that my truth may not be his truth. So could we both be true? Or is... Okay, she says truth is timeless. The truth is the truth whether you want it to be or not. A universally accepted fact. Okay, if it's universally, then these 7 foundational truths would work for us also. If these are actually truths. Truth is, what is the definition of truth? Say that again. Okay, Jesus said that I am the way, a truth. Oh, the truth. So there is a truth. Can you read what it says there? Now, let's enlarge that. Number one truth. You are divine. Hey, now I like that. I like that. No, I don't really like that. That's a direct contradiction, isn't it? Is it directly contradictory to what Jesus says? You are divine. We embrace the truth of our being with a capital B. Whoa! Now, I told you this was a religious organization, but they're not Christians. And I'm not pushing them down. I'm just using as an example of the thinking process that the devil will lead us to. Just exactly like he was telling Eve there in that verse we read in chapter 3, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be just like God. And he's pulling the same thing now. The truth of our being known, we are an individualized aspect of the Creator incarnate in human form. You become what you love. In all things, give thanks. Now, I've heard Travis give a very good talk about giving thanks. So I might have agreed with that. If I back up one, we might be able to read that. It says, our gratitude for the gift of life. Our gratitude for the gift of life and all that comes with it allows us to let go of the old human story. The old human story, which revolves around victimhood, and enter the sacredness of creation. Are we going to worship God or are we going to worship the creation? Oh, there's a lot there you could read, and that all leads to the idea that you are divine. You are divine. I want to take a peek. There was only one rule. There was really only one rule written down in Genesis 1 and 2. Don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from that tree. But there's something more there that we can gain for us. I want to take a look at I got to put a few verses together, but a story. Because I mentioned to you last time that God's law was also in heaven. Remember we talked about Lucifer in Ezekiel chapter 28, where it said that he was perfect in all of his ways until iniquity was found in him. And in order for iniquity to be found, in order for something to be wrong, what had to be the case? There had to be a rule that you knew you were doing it wrong. You have to put the salt in after you put the flour in. I don't know. I'm not a cook. I'm just using that. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, no. Don't put that flour in yet. You got to put. There has to be a law that says what you're. And I suggested to you that there was a law in heaven. And so let's take a look at that, because I believe there was a law in heaven, and I believe it's the same law that God gave us. Let's take a look. I don't want to just say it without backing it up. So let's take a look. I want to take a peek at God's throne room. Remember in Ezekiel 28, we looked at Ezekiel gave us a close-up view of where Lucifer was there. In Ezekiel 28, where he was a covering cherub. Well, let's take a look in Ezekiel again, but let's go to Ezekiel 1. Let's go to Ezekiel 1 and take a peek at God's throne room. Ezekiel chapter 1. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel is in vision and he's seeing all kinds of creatures and people in heaven. And as he comes down, we look verse 24, and when they went, I heard the noise of their wings. That's those creatures, like the noise of great waters, and the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of a host. And they stood and they let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament which was over their heads when they stood and let down their wings. They're right there in the throne room. Look at verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. They're right there in the throne room, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as an appearance of a man above and beyond it. And above and upon it. There he is. He's able to view the very throne room of God. And what does he see? He sees sapphire right there in the throne room. You might think, well, If you're going to paint something, if something's going to be in there, it might be your favorite color, right? I don't know if it is your favorite color or not. Now, you could talk to Clayton. Clayton just picked out some colors. If you haven't seen it, you might want to go over to the village when you get a minute and go into the lecture room over there, because Clayton and Cristiano have worked diligently over the last few weeks to redo the whole place, right, Clayton? Now, the color you painted that in there, that's not your favorite color, is it? Not necessarily. But it is a nice color. But every house that I live in, I always paint the house inside my favorite color. The whole house is always painted the same color. It's white. That's easy, right? When you get something on the wall, you just kind of paint it again. Just white. My kids never liked that. Let's go to another verse here in Ezekiel, because just to see this again. And that's over in chapter 10. In Ezekiel chapter 10. And it's interesting, because many times in Ezekiel, the beginning of a chapter begins, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, moreover, the Spirit of the Lord." Many times that's the way the chapters begin in Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is a, keep in mind that Ezekiel is a contemporary of Daniel. He lived right at the same time, basically, that Daniel lived. And so in chapter 10, verse 1, he's looking again. "Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above their head and the cherubims, there appeared over them as it were a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne." So there he is. He's in the very throne room. And we see sapphire. Sapphire is beautiful, isn't it? That blue. And I do believe that's God's favorite color. The reason I think that is because when he created this earth, look at that. Tell me that isn't close. There's something special about this planet. Something special. And the specialty that I know is that he's forever linked to me. Do you know that? He is forever linked. When you look at his hands, he is forever linked to you. There's something special about this planet. So, when God decides to give the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel, look at what he does. Look at what he does. Let's go to Exodus. Let's go over to Exodus. Exodus, we're going to look at several chapters here very briefly. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. This is the negotiation. The negotiation between God and the children of Israel. Moses is the negotiator. Back and forth. Back and forth, agreeing, making sure that everything is agreed upon. Then chapter 20, it is actually written down. What is the Ten Commandments? Written right there in chapter 20. There are other commandments written in chapter 21. There are other rules and regulations in 21. And look at 22. There are more laws and rules in 22. Then in 23, there's some more. And then in 24, look what happens. They need to ratify the laws. They need to sign on the dotted line. They need to make it official. They don't actually sign on the dotted lines. They actually use blood. We don't do that much anymore. We actually sign, but there they took blood. And we look in verse 7. Start in verse 7. He took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said we will do, and we will try to be obedient." We will be obedient. They shouldn't have said that. In my opinion, they should have said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do our best with His help. What we would like, Lord, is for You to write Your laws on our heart." You see, they had an idea of works. They need the idea of God working in our heart to change us. Not what can I do, but what can God do? We will be obedient. And Moses took the blood in verse 8 and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning these words." Then went Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders, and they saw the God of Israel there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were in the body of heaven, its clearness. You see what happened right there? You see that verse? What's God standing on? A sapphire stone. I should have had Brenda. I have to say thank you, Brenda. Brenda helped me put these slides together. I should have put a picture of Mount Sinai. Has anybody ever seen Mount Sinai? A picture of Mount Sinai. It doesn't look anything like the mountain up here. There's not one tree. It is just brown, ugly. It's nothing. So now here on the top of Mount Sinai, there is a paved work of sapphire stone. Why would that be on the top of that mountain? How many of you have ever walked up this mountain? John, how many times do you think you may have walked up that mountain? Okay, so if you did it once a year, that's 30 times at least, right? Have you ever found a sapphire stone walking up through there? Friends, I don't think that sapphire stone was just there. I think God brought it with him from heaven and wrote the Ten Commandments on that stone. Now you're thinking, whoa, wait a second. Hold your finger here. Let's go over to Leviticus. Let's go to Numbers. I'm sorry. It's Numbers. It's not Leviticus. It's Numbers. And it's chapter 30. It's not 30. It's chapter 15. It's Numbers chapter 15. And in Numbers chapter 15, there is an incident that takes place. It's an unfortunate incident. We can pick it up in verse 32. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath. And they that found him gathering the sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto the congregation. And they put him in the ward because it was not declared what they should do with him. There was a man who was breaking the law, specifically the Sabbath. He was breaking the law. And there's a commentary on this in Patriarchs and Prophets. The man had been warned and talked to about this. That the incident is not what I want to focus on. Verse 35, "And the Lord said unto Moses, and the man shall surely be put to death, and the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. All the congregation brought him without the camp, and they stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses." Verse 37, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying," so after this incident happens, now God talks to Moses to talk to the people. He says, "Speak to the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on the fringe of the border a ribbon of blue." So that's a new fashion statement. Do you see that? Around the edge of their sleeves and around their collars, around the bay, there would be a ribbon of blue. A ribbon of blue. Why would you do that? He says to remember God's law. Look at how this reads here. 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you go whoring, that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy to the Lord. Now, why would he make that fringe? Why would he want that fringe to be blue? I think it's the color of the commandments. No, the purple. Now, Bev mentioned royalty. When we think of blue, what do we generally think of when we think of blue? Loyalty. Purple, we think of royalty. Correct? Remember Jesus, when they had him there just before they took him to Pilate? When they had him there with Pilate, they put Pilate's purple robe on him. Because they said, "You're the king of the Jews, here you go." The blue is loyalty. Loyalty. I think the commandments are blue. This is just personal. I believe that when the Creator came to the earth, he just peeled those right off the wall of heaven and just brought them right here to earth. This is why I trust. I have to tell you, this is why I trust. Because I believe that God's law is the same here as it is in heaven. God's law is the same in heaven as it is on any other planet. Because God is the same no matter where you go. God doesn't have different laws. He's the same everywhere you go. That's why I can trust Him. I don't worry about if I go to a different state. You know, as you drive across this country, how many different speed limits there are on the interstate highways? Every state is a little different, right? Years and years ago, when you would travel in Montana, there was no speed limit sign in most places on the interstate. You know what the sign said? No. That's not... She said... What did you say? Speed at your own risk? No. The sign actually said reasonable and prudent. So Karen and I were traveling back from, we'd been in Alaska and we got into Montana and we hammered down. And we were traveling about 100 and went right on by a Montana State Patrol. Sign said reasonable and prudent. It was dry. But when you cross the line into Wyoming, the sign has changed. That was back in the day when it was 65 in Wyoming. You had to make sure. But in God's kingdom, that's not the way. I don't believe that. I believe God is the same everywhere. Everywhere He has the same law. And so as I look at that, I ask myself about the Ten Commandments. Could that be true that the same Ten Commandments that He gave us would be in heaven? Would that be true? Well, there's some that I would like to wonder about. How about if, just think about it, if you were in heaven, you have everything you need, why would you have a law that says thou shalt not steal? You have everything. How about in heaven? The angels live in heaven with God, right? And we know Jesus said that when we get to heaven for the 1,000 years there, we're going to be like the angels, not marrying and giving in marriage. So why would the angels have a law that says, thou shalt not commit adultery? Rich is waving his hand back there. I can't let you talk, Rich. I know that's hard. What if the commandments... somebody said something about the truth being universal, right? Was that Clayton that said that? Kevin. Okay, Kevin. Universal. What about a principle? Is a principle universal? A principle is timeless and universal. I believe principles. So if we take the commandments, you can find those in Exodus chapter 20. If you take those, if you see the first one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Could we apply a principle to that? Somebody say loyalty? Somebody said loyalty. How about that? Now, would loyalty work in heaven? Would loyalty work on any other planet? In our language, maybe it's written, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's how God wrote it for us. But a principle would be loyalty. What about number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Okay, he's saying possibly loyalty again. What if we put down true worship? You see, think about this. No other gods or any graven images. What things can we worship? We can worship the trees, right? We can worship ourselves. Our job. House, car. Cristiano, he's got a list of them. Thank you, Cristiano. True worship. Who do we truly worship? The Creator. The Creator. How about number three? Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain. Okay, there's respect. He says reverence. That's what I have is reverence. Do we reverence God? Now, sometimes they don't take the name. That's not, you know, swearing. And that may be. If you take God's name, you call yourself a Christian, but you're not. But reverencing God. Reverencing Him. Who is He? And who am I? That's the age-long question, isn't it? Who is God and who am I? We reverence that. There's a good friend of mine that we were talking one day and he said, hey, John, what are you going to do when you first see Jesus? And I'm like, well, is that something that we readily think of? Do you usually think of that? When you first see Jesus, when you first get the chance, I mean, I don't know how many saved people there are going to be, but you got to wait your turn, right? And so what are you going to do? And he said, I'm going to go up to Jesus and I'm going to give him a high five. And I was like, you know, I don't think that that's what I would do. I'm going to be more like the woman who put the oil on his feet, the perfume. I'm going to be kissing his feet because I am reverencing him because I know who he is and I know what I am. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Did you say holy time? Holy time? Is that special time that has been set aside by God? Holy time. The first four. Our relationship to God. How about to each other? You see, in heaven everything's perfect. You have everything you need. You wouldn't need any laws, would you, in heaven? I think that's exactly what Lucifer was telling the other angels. We're perfect. Why do we need any laws? Eve, look at how beautiful you are. You're perfect. And if you eat that fruit, you're going to know things. You're going to be better off than you are now. Honor your father and your mother. Respect? Respect for authority? We don't have much respect for authority anymore in this country. And I think that actually starts from the top and works its way down. When we look at the leaders of our country, how much lack of respect each of them has for each other, that has what Ronald Reagan called a trickle-down effect. Also, when I think of the way children have been raised, I heard Sophia say that everything her dad, all the rules her dad had were good. Now that's respecting her father. Beverly says give her 10 years. Respect for authority. If we don't respect our parents, where does that usually lead us to? Not respecting anybody. Nor God, or even ourselves. Respect for authority, how important that would be. Honor your father and your mother. Respect for authority. How about, thou shalt not kill? Now that's my niece talking back there. She knows me. I know her. Respect for life. I have to tell you, I'm a little concerned about the state of New York. You remember what we talked about laws telling us what kind of a place we live? Anybody familiar with the law that they just recently passed in the state of New York? That's not partial. I mean, that's when the baby is being born? Oh, my. Respect for life. I'm getting more and more nervous about that because as I get older and older, I'm concerned because somebody might eventually say, listen, dude, you're taking up too much space. That could never happen, could it? It could. The laws of the land, do they tell us what kind of a place we live in? Do you know the kind of place that I want to live in? Right there. That's where I want to live. Thou shalt not kill. How about thou shalt not commit adultery? How about purity of heart? I really care about each and every one of you, whether you're a man or a woman. I care about you. I do care. I want the best for you. And I'm not trying to get anything from anybody. I have purity of heart. How about thou shalt not steal? Now the next two, let's be very careful. Thou shalt not steal. Travis says, respect for personal property. Thou shalt not steal. How about honesty? Now, the next two are very close. Check this out. We're going to look at both of them right here together because the next one is not bearing false witness and I have truthfulness. And somebody has asked me more than once, what's the difference between honesty and truthfulness? Rich? Okay. Thou shalt not steal. Here's the difference. I just stole that. That's stealing. I just stole the truth. You know, Travis, I saw Larry the other day, and I'm going to tell you, I think he's a rascal.
You too, huh?
You think that too? Do you see the difference? Stealing, honesty. Whoops. Sorry, Rafaela. Honesty. Stealing, taking something. So on Monday morning after the Super Bowl, how many of us stood around the water cooler for an hour and a half talking about the Super Bowl? I doubt whether any of, but you see what I'm saying? Did we steal from our employer? Honesty. Truthfulness is opposed to this or this. There is a difference. There is a difference. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sometimes even the truth we don't need to talk about. Just because you know it's the truth doesn't mean we have to talk about it. If I know something about Daryl, maybe I should go and talk to Daryl instead of me talking to Tom about Daryl. The last one. Thou shalt not covet. Bev says self-respect. Tiffany says contentment. I should have gagged Tiffany. Because this is the one that all the others stand on. You realize when I'm content with what God has given me, who God has made me? What about the other nine? Now, let's take a peek at Lucifer in heaven. And I look at these on the right, not on the left, the ones on the right. Which ones on the right did Lucifer not follow through with? He wasn't content, was he? And as we work our way up the list, I think he didn't really follow through on any of those. So could God's law, the same law that is here, could it be possible it's in heaven? Could it be possible that it's on that next planet out there, that there are living beings on? And folks, the Bible does tell us that God made the worlds. We're not the only one. We're the only one where sin is. But we're not the only one. And what makes me trust Him is that I know that He is the same today. He's the same yesterday, and He'll be the same tomorrow. He will not change. The speed limit signs like they are on Interstate 80 that come across southern Wyoming, in several places they have speed limit signs that are changeable, depending on the weather. So depending on how the winds of society blow, I can change these, right? No, I cannot. Society does not change God. God is supposed to change society. Say that again, Rich. How many on the left side did Satan, Lucifer not follow through with? Well, I would agree also that on the left, all of them, that he didn't follow through with those either. But I'm using this as an example, and I don't know. I'm not trying to put words in God's mouth. That I'm like, okay, this is what's hanging on the wall in the throne room. I'm trying to use it in a sense of a principle is something that is timeless and universal. That's everywhere in the whole universe that would work, I believe. Now, would you turn with me to Revelation 17. And we'll finish up there. Keep in mind, that clock's 5 minutes fast. Revelation 17. Revelation 17. And we're just going to start in verse 1. We're going to read a few verses there, and that'll be it. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, talked with me, saying to me, "Come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits on many waters." I'm going to show you the judgment of the great whore. Remember back there in Numbers, we talked where God told Moses that they wouldn't go whoring? That's choosing another god. That's not choosing another woman. That's choosing another god, is what God was saying to them. And here there's the judgment of that whore. Here's the judgment of that whore, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That's spiritual fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The wine, that's the doctrine that she's teaching. And when I say she, I'm not using it as a woman. I'm not knocking women down. A woman is a representation of a church. And so we see that. So he carried me away in verse 3 in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And there we see a picture of that. We can see, if we count them, I mean, this is just an artist that drew this, but there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 horns. And interestingly enough, can you see this little guy right here? And there, and there, and what does that look like? Those are mountaintops. Those are hills. The seven hills that the woman sits on. Check this out. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and having precious stones and pearls, having the golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. Did you notice how she was dressed? How is she dressed? Purple? Scarlet? Gold? Blue? Did you see any blue? Why is there no blue? No loyalty? No law. At the end of time, Revelation 17, at the end of time, there will be a church, there will be an organization that does not follow God's law, that says, listen, you're better off, just like the serpent was telling Eve, you're a gainer. You're going to gain. You don't need to keep God's law. It's not important. There the woman sits. What we'd have to do is discover who that woman is. But the woman says, I'm not going to put on any blue. I'm only going to wear the scarlet. I'm going to wear the purple because I'm going to be royal. I want to have the scarlet because I want to make it look like I can forgive the sins. That's what the blood does, right? God, Jesus' blood forgives our sins. And the gold, the representation of God's willingness to give, she has no blue. I have a brother-in-law who's a pastor in the Michigan Conference. And I want to give him credit for that list right there. Terry Nelson is his name. He's my brother. That's Tiffany's father. Do you think she... Travis, do you think she's been listening to her dad? Listen to your dad. I got that from her dad. He told me of a series of meetings. He's held several evangelistic meetings. And as you do event, as we go through evangelistic meetings, different truths come out of the Bible. And pretty soon there was a family that quit coming to those meetings. They didn't come one night, and then they didn't come the next night. And when they didn't come back the third time, he went to visit them. And he said, I noticed you came for several nights and then you quit coming. And the man said, I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want to learn. I don't want to be responsible for what I know. I don't want to be responsible for what you're going to tell me. And my brother-in-law told him, I'm sorry, you already know too much. Because if you've gotten to the point where you know you don't want to know anymore, you know too much. Let me read you one short quote from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 55. Eve really believed the words of Satan. Do you know that? Eve really believed that. But her belief did not save her from the penalty of sin. She disbelieved the words of God, and this was what led her to the fall. And here we go. In the judgment, men will not be condemned because they conscientiously believed a lie. Maybe I am believing something that's not true. It is said, in the judgment, men will not be condemned because they conscientiously believed a lie, but because they did not believe the truth, because they neglected the opportunity of learning what is truth. We looked at that sign on there, the seven foundational truths. Friends, we need to be in the Word of God looking for the truth that God has for us. We need to find the truth that God has for us in this book and follow it. This is why I trust God. This whole series is on why do I trust Him? I trust Him because of this right here. Because I know that no matter where I go and when I go, this is the rule. This is God's law. And I trust Him. I hope you will trust Him. I hope that as you look at the Ten Commandments, that you will say, this is why I trust God. This is why I trust Him. I don't want it to be said of me in that judgment day. And rest assured, if we would read further on in Revelation to Revelation chapter 20, we would see that there's going to be a judgment. And I don't want to be standing in that judgment saying, I wish I had believed that. And you wouldn't believe how many people I talk to that don't want to talk. No, I don't want to hear anything about that. And that's not what I want to be said of me on that judgment day. I want to try to learn everything I can that is in that Bible. Who would want to join me and say, Lord, teach me what you want me to know?